All right, thanks everybody for coming out. Super awesome to be here in the Sukkah, making it happen, rocking the house. And Shavuot Tov, and hopefully it's going to be a special type of shir. It's a little bit different this night than normal. It's still Hashgafa, but it's going to be deeper. And I figure and feel like when we go to Yeshiva, we spend a lot of time focusing on the halachas of Sukkahs. I mean, you have your Arba Minim. You have to know how many you have. What are the pasulim? How do I shop for them? What do I do with them? How do I build my sukkah? All the different ins and outs. And also, we're on Ben Azman quite often. And so we don't have the time to really delve into the depths of what's going on in sukkahs. So tonight, I want to actually do that for you guys. And I also want to say that I don't know if I'm roy to even give the shir, because it's very heavily Kabbalah, and I may not have answers to questions, but we'll give it a try. We'll do our best. And we'll go weiter from there. So the shir tonight's called Our Arba Minim, Tools for Unity, Connection, and Introspection. It's actually based on a piece that I've written, that I've shared other places. And the hope is that it's also going to one day be in a second sefer that I'm writing on the Mawadim one of these days. If all's well, who knows when that's going to come out, but God willing, it'll be there. So when you take and shake your Arba Minim, what you're doing is something that is so powerful and so holy that it's very different than just taking some plants and bringing them together. But to understand what's actually happening, we need to like go on a journey to figure out the numerical structure and system of seven. Seven is insanely, profoundly deep and beautiful around this time. And when you realize what's going on with the number seven, everything else just comes alive. You'd be like, oh, seven Shpiz and seven nights, seven, and it all will come together to help you realize, you know, what's going on. Okay, so we're going to first dive into the Arizal, okay? We got to jump right in. You can't.
No prepping time. Just straight into the Arizal.
You got to jump right in.
Let's just go.
All right, let's do it.
You got to jump right in.
It's a Haim. Jump into the water.
You got to jump in. No getting cold.
There's no warm-up lap. Just straight from zero to Arizal.
Straight in. So in the Shar Kavanot, in the Inyan Sukkot Drush 5, the Arizal, he takes us on what I call a Kabbalistic quest to help you appreciate the profound significance of the mitzvah of your Arba Minim. And so each one of the four Arba Minim represent one of the letters in the Shem Havaya. The Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey. How? Okay, so again, just each one of your Arba Minim are keneged one of the letters in God's name. The Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey. So the Hadassim, they symbolize the Yud in Hashem's name. Why? The leaves of the Hadassim even look like small Yuds. They're like little ink blots.
Yeah.
Likewise, the letter Yud, when it's spelled out in full, is comprised of three letters. Yud, Vav, Dalet. How many Hadassim do you have? They always come in triplets. You have to have three of them. Hadassim is Yud. And they directly relate, like we said, to the triplet letters. Okay, you have two Aravot. Aravos. They correlate to the second letter in Hashem's name, which is the Hey. When the letter Hey is written out, it contains two letters. Hey, Hey, Hey.
Yeah.
So that's indicative of the two Aravot that we hold. The Lulav, that should be Dover Pasha to everybody. The Vav, connector. Right, the lulav is related to the third letter, which is vav, and so a kosher lulav, which actually has to, you know, be straight and look like it's a large letter vav, and it's also only valid. The lulav is only valid if its tiomet is not totally split.
Yeah.
You have to have the two halves that come together.
And the tefach.
You got it. And
I
so
know about that tefach.
It's important.
Rabbi's record.
There you go. And so it's valid only if the two halves. There he is. Coming out. Yaakov Ganon in the house.
Yeah.
Hey. Come on in. So we're just talking about, we'll do a little brief recap. We already dived into the Rizal. Gotta go right in.
Welcome, Havra. We're going to start today with Arizal.
Gotta go right in. So I mentioned that in Yeshiva, a lot of us, we focus on the halachas of what's going on with the Arba Minim. It's very hard to get into the depths of what's actually happening in the day, in the whole Zman, the whole Tekufa. And I said, listen, let's go for it. So this is the Hashgafa Shir. And just a brief recap, where we talked about how each, in the Arizal, the Shara Kavanos talks about how, Kavanot talks about how each one of the Arba Minim is connected. Oh, another guy, come on in, take a seat, grab cookies, beer, iced tea, water, whatever you want, make a late shave. We'll do a brief recap for everybody. That was just the intro, yeah? So like this, we're talking about your Arba Minim and how to make them into tools for unity, connection, and introspection. And we're already in the Arizal. Okay. Anybody who comes late, no more Chazara. So, here we go. So like this, we're in the Shar HaGevonos and we're talking about the Inyan Sukkah Drush 5, where we're saying that each one of the Arba Minim components are connected one of the letters of the Shem Havaya. Mm-hmm. We said that the Hadassim symbolized the Yud, which actually even look like little ink blots, okay? And the letter Yud also is spelled out in full. It's Yud Vavdal. That's three, right? The triplet letters of the Hadassim. What did we say what the next one was? We said the Ravus is what?
The Hey.
Very good. The very good, which was too nice. And we said the Vav was? You got it. And then the last one is going to be the Etrog. Very good, very good. Okay. And so now, it's important to recognize what you're doing when you have your Arba Minim. And so when you think about your Arba Minim, it's really a misnomer. You don't just have four things. You really have seven things. You have three Adasim, two Aravot, one Lulav, and one Etrog. You have seven things that you're holding. Yes, four species, four, you know, Arba Minim, but you have seven things that you're holding on to.
And the Hoshana Rabba card.
Only at Hoshana's time, right? They got a shoulder one this year, now. So they actually are going to consist of seven different things. And so the Arizal also notes that each one of these seven corresponds to the seven lower Sefirot. And if you think about it, who are your seven Ushpizen? Yeah, and what are they gonna correspond to? Who always comes in a pair? Moshe and Aaron always come in a pair. We have how many Avot? Yesod Tzadik Ha'olam is always Yashar. And who was the Melech, which is always your Etrog? Boom. There's machlokas over how you learn that. I like to learn it that way. But let's just appreciate that for a second there. Each one of our Ushpizen that we have are going to be connected a part of your Dalet Minim. Each one of the components of your Dalet Minim are connected one of the Sefirot that you're going to Matakin, which also correlates to the four parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. You understand what you're doing when you're coming into the Sukkah? Okay. So now, the ideal way to perform the mitzvah of taking our Arba Minim is by binding all of the four species together. And so when we bring these four species together, which each represent one of the four letters in the Shem Havaya, we're literally bringing Hashem's name together. And so make no mistake, like don't think like this is just some nice little thing that we're doing for unity. No, you are physically holding your Arba Minim and you're spiritually participating in the unification of Hashem's name. I'm going to say that again. You're spiritually participating in the unification of Hashem's name. That sounds nice, but what's that mean? What's that actually mean?
It sounds like something that should be way above my pay grade.
No,
hopefully we're gonna.
Yeah, your pay grade, Cohen.
Yeah. You need to know this.
Kalshukin.
You need to know this. We all need this, but you especially need to know this.
You have a tendency to Cohen Gadol. You need to know this stuff, man.
So although it's incredibly deep, okay, there's an aspect that I think on our present level, Sam Graber, Cohen Gadol to be, could we can all tap into. And so it's important, I think, to jump back Torah Yom Kippur time. This is something that I think you can all grab onto. This is the part that I grab onto, and I think this takes the whole word upwards. So let's remember what we said in the Ilah. What was the last thing that you shouted or said, depending on how you were feeling in the Ilah? Hashem Hu Elokim. How many times did you say that?
Seven
times. You said that seven times, which is connected to all the other stuff. You said Hashem, He is God. And so at that critical moment, as the gates of Shemayim were closing and our judgment was being sealed for the whole year, we declared seven times that Hashem is our God. And I say implicit within this articulation is that He and He alone is our King, right? We said that we want our will to match up with His, mm-hmm. not the other way around.
Right.
And so on Rosh Hashanah, that's a nice idea that we have. On Yom Kippur, it's a nice thing that we say. On Sukkot, we do it. And if you're Kabbalistically inclined as I am, you shake in your sukkah. You shake in your sukkah. Some shake and some don't do that. Some will shake at challah just in the shul. You'll see other guys, they'll come, they did this at KC also, depending on when you were. They'll go at challah into the sukkah. You have all these different customs. But when you unify your Dalet Minim, you're unifying what you said on Yom Kippur. which was that, Hashem, I want my will to align with yours. And I'm taking and I'm expressing that by bringing it all together. And so when you take your Arba Minim, you're going into your Sukkah with all of the Avot with you, with all of Moshe and Aaron with you, with Yosef or David, or at least their Kuchut. And all of the seven Sfirot too, the seven lower Sfirot with you, which are representative of each one of them too, because that's their Midah. And you're going in to unify and come together and elevate that by saying, I am coming closer to you. I'm unifying every aspect of who I am, and I'm going to go serve you. It gets deeper, if that wasn't deep enough yet. We're going to transcend worlds. How many worlds are there?
Four.
There's four worlds. How many Arba Minim do we have? Four. Okay. So we're going to dive in now to how each one of your Arba Minim corresponds to Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, and Atzilut. So the closest, that's just the intro stuff. The closest world to Hashem, and the most spiritual one is Atzilut, Atzilus. The initial flash of inspiration for an idea emanates from there. And so your Etrog, which is, got one, the Etrog, which is, the Etrog, which is the most spiritual, obviously makes the most sense that it's the one that's closest to Hashem. Why is it the most spiritual? It's the Medrash we all know. And this is the class where you're going to see the two fancy Medrashim that everybody tells you about, the lips of this. You're going to see how they actually all come together. And now all the Etrog is the heart. This is all of it. Although if you have individualized pieces, you have a nice Vort, but like Vortlach, yeah. Or just Vortlach. Let's like get a Hashkafa. So here you go. So now the Etrog's paired with Atzilut because it's the most noble and refined of all of the Arba Minim. It's the most beautiful, has a good smell and a good taste. Bria, Beria, is the second closest to Hashem. It's the world of what they call creation. And so at that point, an idea is given definition and it's broadened. The idea is given definition and it's broadened. So it's kind of linked to the Lulav, which is the second most noble component of all of the Arba Minim, because the dates, that this is what people don't understand. Oh, why does the Lulav have a good taste? It's the dates on the Lulav. Thank you very much. That's what has the good taste. The Lulav is the second most noble component of the Arba Minim because the dates that grow on it have a good taste, but it lacks a smell. So what? Don't go eat your Lulav, but the dates that grow on it is what makes it have a good taste. And a good Shiloh could be, why is it that taste is closer to a Kaddish Baruch Hu than smell? I thought by Besamim it's like the Quasis, but you look at it the other way. Taste is something that is a more robust, delicious type of feeling that you can have. And sometimes we can feel closer on our level in the reverse, physically, to the taste. Hashem also is closer, kivyachol, to the tasting component of your lulav, which is also more noble. Very good. Yes, absolutely. Next is Yetzira, the world of formation. It's a bit further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Almighty, and than the prior two worlds. And so in Yetzira, plans are drawn up, so to speak, for an idea to be expressed in the world of Asiya. And so Yetzira is connected to the Hadassim, the next one down, since they have a beautiful smell, but they lack taste. And so now, they're less noble than Alula, but more refined than the Aravo. And finally, we have the world that we live in, Asiya. And it's the most physical, the most coarse, which is your Aravos. They dry up, they have no smell, they have no taste, they're, you know, the coarsest of all things. And so that's how each one of your Arba Minim are now connected, the four worlds. And so as you're coming together to shake your Arba Minim, you're unifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're coming in with the Yushbizin, and now you're coming in to not just Matakin everything by saying Hashem Hu Elokim and bring it out into your own world here. You're shaking levels and lighters in Shemayim as you do it. All four of them. All four levels are being metakin just by you picking these things up and shaking them. And you don't see that, and we don't see it. But if you can tap into this and really believe it, you have no idea what you're doing in Shemayim. It's like none other. It's otherworldly, literally. And so you effectuate the unification of Hashem's name across all of these worlds in a beautiful way. And so now we get into the kishkas of the two midrashim that everybody knows. Right. The famous Medrash, Vayikra Rabbah, it's 30:12. It compares the four species to four different kinds of Jews. Right. The Etrog is the one that has, the Tzaddik that has. Right. Exactly. Good taste, good smell, the Tzaddik. And then you then have the Lulav, which is good taste, but no smell. That's Torah, but no good deeds. Right. Then you have the Hadassim, which is a nice smell, but no taste. And that's the one who has good deeds, but lacks Torah. And then you have...
Israeli.
You know, everyone has a shot. Biravot, yeah, they correspond to the one that lacks both taste and smell. And so they are maybe not Rishayim, but they are for sure people who lack Tor Mitzvahs.
The fourth child.
And they lack good deeds, right? They're Ravos, right, exactly. And so now think about it. It's not just that the tzaddikim get a chance to shake the Arba Minim. It's a mitzvah for everybody to do so. Even the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, it has an opportunity to be metakening all these worlds, has an opportunity and a shot to say Hashem Hu Elohim and do it and mean it in a powerful way. Everybody comes together on Sukkot, and you bring them all into your Sukkah. You invite people in. Pesach time also, right? These are the two major times when you bring everybody in. And and you have an opportunity to really join all Jews together to fix up the world. And really, we really do need all Yidden to help fix up the whole world. So like this. Ultimately, all four kinds of Jews, regardless of background, greatness, or stature, are going to come together to unify all four aspects of Hashem's name across each of the four worlds in order to fix up the seven lower sefirot and to solidify what we passionately declared seven times at the end of Ne'ilat Yom Kippur, Hashem Hu Elokim. Okay, and so now, there's another component. When you go into your sukkah, you have to come into it with all of who you are. All right? That's the other medrash. Might have skipped that guy. We have another medrash. And in that other medrash, you have Vayikra Rabbah 30:14 now that says that each one of the components of your Arba Minim are connected to part of your body. This is the word that all your kids are going to come home knowing also. My six-year-old comes home and says, Abba, do you know what your eyes are? Yeah, they're my hadassim. He's like, oh, you know that too? You know? Okay, so but there's a depth to it. There's a depth to it. So your hadassim represent what? The eyes. Your lulav is your spar. And the etchog is your heart, right? And not only that, but then you also have, what am I missing? Your aravot are your lips, right? And so every aspect of what makes you you comes together to unify Kodesh Baruch Hu. You use your eyes to see, your lips to speak, your spine brings you in, and you act in the world like that. And so every aspect of who you are is coming together to unify Hashem in this way. As we're doing all of this, there's a deep Musar message that also emerges, which is very important to know, because this is very Kabbalistic, this is very deep, this is very lofty, but I'm a person that likes to learn halacha, but I also like to see how the halacha reflects your life. And so if you look at the halacha of what makes the major pasulim, the major things that invalidate your Arba Minim, you'd be able to learn something special about yourself and about how you should be growing. So let's take a look at the major pasul in each one of these. And again, when you go shopping to buy your Arba Minim, you should be very picky, because you're going to see why in a moment. So, boys, what's the major pasul in the etrog, and which represents your heart?
Black spots.
Black spots, broken pitum. Think about your heart. Do you have any black spots in your heart? You just came out of Yom Kippur. Yeah, do you have any? There's a famous book. You should get it for your kids when you have them, God willing, one day. It's called The Bad Meadows Pirates. We love it. And there's a guy in there that's called Hateful Henry. Each one of them corresponds to a bad meat. It teaches your kids all about, like, different. How many Hateful Henrys do you have on your heart? Yeah? Those are the things that never get expressed in the world. You're never going to share that with anybody, because you would never say that to him, right? But, oh, I feel it. Yeah? How many black spots are on our etrog? And if you broke your pitum, oh my gosh, forget it. Disaster. Disaster. Okay. Now, what's the pasul?
I thought I'd get one with that one.
Yeah. I got that also, because the one of them with the pitum had black spots, and the one without did not this have black one, spots.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so now this one's going to be a little bit harder. This one's a little bit deeper. But so let's do the lulav. What's the major thing that invalidates your lulav? If it's split. If your tiyomet is split. Okay, so now, to understand what a split lulav corresponds to, we need to go back into Chumash a little bit. So it's a good thing to do. So, the spine is really your connection point between Hashem and man. It's also where we put our tefillin. In Shemot 33:18 through 23, Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to behold his presence. I want to see you, God. And Hashem tells Moshe that no man can see him and live. Instead, Instead, as our sages tell us, they say in Brachot 7a, right? 7a, also Menachot 35b, Hashem shows Moshe his tefillin shel rosh, as if to say, the pathway to connect to me is right here, at the seat where your seichel joins up with the place where you begin to express yourself in my world. And so if you cut that off, if you split that, you're literally severing your relationship that ultimately could be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's understand that a little bit more. And so the place where you're not of for your tefillin shel rosh is, that's the connection point between your head and your spine. And so likewise, a lulav. The lulav is going to become invalidated when the tiyomet, the middle leaf, is going to separate. You can see in the Gemara in Sukkah 32a, also the Shulchan Aruch or Rechaim 6645. And when those, without those two connected, you're symbolically severing the possibility of a true connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if you're totally separating your physical part from your spiritual part. And you're totally invalidating that. So get a good lulav, boys. So we said etrog, we said lulav now, right? Yeah. So we have, what's going to invalidate your hadassim? What do your hadassim have to be? They have to be mishulash. They have to have all three leaves connected. In order to be kosher, you separate them out, you have a problem. That comes from the Or HaChaim 646. You have to have your triplets, and they have to all be connected, just like that. And who did we say that they're all connected? Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Each one represents Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and even if one is just detached, that is severing your connection with Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So when you find your Hadassim, make sure you find the right ones. And these are not just like, oh, this is kind of cute to think about. No, this is also part and parcel of what you should be thinking about when you have them. Right? How close do I feel to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? How close do I feel to our forebears? Do I feel like I'm carrying out their message and their cause? Am I actually going forth in the world to help, you know, other people and grow like that? Do I feel like I'm severing my relationship to the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Do I do all these things because I'm supposed to, because the book said to? Or am I actually feeling it? Am I really into it? Am I really tapping in properly? And then lastly, we said, was the Aravo. And what's their major pasul? They shrivel up and die on you like they probably did right now, and you need a new pair because you went through a 3-day Yom Tov. So what do? You have to make sure that they don't wither. Otherwise, you're over what's in Or HaChaim 647, right? They have to make sure that they are not lacking water. What's water? Water's Torah. So what's symbolic for us when it comes to the Aravot? How thirsty are you for Torah? Are you a withered Aravot? Or are you so okay and so happy that even if you have 5 pairs of Aravo that you need over the whole entire Chag, that you're willing to go buy them? You need to be thirsty for Torah. That's the Aravo. That's the message of the Aravo. And you want to keep that fresh throughout all the Sukkahs. And if you have the ability to do that, then you can really be doing what you're supposed to be properly doing on Sukkahs. You have, again, to come full circle, you have all of your Dalet Minim coming together in a beautiful way to unify Kodesh Baruch Hu in all of the Sphira with the Koach of all of the, with all of the, you know, Ushbizin, and you're metakening all 4 of the levels in Shemayim and everything that we have here. And we have this nice Musar message to help us realize how we can grow and develop and to be better people on Sukkot as a whole. So may it be that we have the opportunity for the rest of this Chag. It's been a nice, beautiful, you know, 3-day Yom Tov, but we still have a Chol HaMoed. You know, Simcha Beis HaShoeva is Monday night. Come out, guys. Also Monday night, not just here, but Monday night, we have a nice, beautiful Simcha Beis HaShoeva too happening. But we should be thinking about these things. It shouldn't just be that we focus only on the halakhas of can I do this or the gemaras. How do you grow? How do you figure it out in life? And how do you metakin things properly? We should go vayter there. We should grow, and we should really have a phenomenal time with our arba minim.
Amazing.